In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we are reading from a letter that St. Paul wrote to the one he calls his spiritual son, Timothy. At that moment, Paul was in the following circumstances. He had been abandoned by all of those who were working with him, except for St. Luke. And he writes to Timothy, and he asks him to get Mark and several others that he knows that he can trust, and to bring him his cloak and his parchments. And we see a moment in time where St. Paul is gathering together his writings because he knows that he is on his last journey. He tells St. Timothy, "My time is coming to an end. My life is about to be poured out as an offering. I have come to the end of the race. I have completed my race. And I will receive the crown of righteousness along with all of the others who longed to see the Lord." He knows that he is about to die, to be put to death, to be martyred for his witness of the presence of God in the world. That is what it means to be an evangelist, to witness to the presence of a new life and to live that new life in the world. And that is why he's going to be put to death. The same reason they sent Jesus Christ himself to the cross, because that new life is a threat to the old way of life, where each person is the most important person in their own lives, and they sustain themselves by way of the world and anything that they can find and bend to their advantage. That's how we live, almost all of us, most of the time. But into a world where we live like that, God himself was born and revealed to us the true way of human life, to live from God's own divine life itself, not from ourselves, not from the world. Not to try to use the world or sacred things that we may come across to build ourselves up, but to cast off that life separate from God and reveal the presence of a new life that St. Paul lives, that St. Luke lives, that St. Mark lives, and that St. Timothy, one of the 70, lives. St. Paul encourages Timothy at just that moment, and he tells him to be careful, to be watchful, be ever vigilant. Fulfill your calling as an evangelist, he says. Live the life that Christ has made it possible for us to live. Reveal the presence of Christ in the world. When we say preach the gospel, we oftentimes think of taking some message written in the scriptures and telling others about it, telling them the good word. St. Paul is writing to St. Timothy about being the good word, living the life of the Word of God, fulfilling ourselves by living that life. That is the life of the evangelist. And that life is not a calling for everyone. The 70, we remember, are those that Christ himself chose in order that he might send two by two of them to different places to prepare others so that they can receive the life of Christ himself and begin to live that life. In a way, they are the first catechists, the first ones to prepare others to be baptized into the life in Christ. This is the Sunday before Theophany, the Sunday before the baptism of Christ, the Sunday before the revelation of God in the world. Epiphany, Theophany, they both mean to reveal the presence of God in the world. And the presence of God is revealed as the incarnate Jesus the Christ, the one who brings divine life to share with all of us, so that we can be Christ bearers, so that we can live by his life. And we remember that 70 were chosen by Jesus and sent forth. And they had difficulties very similar to the difficulties that St. Paul is having. Not everyone is up to the life. Some of them, we are told by St. John and in the Acts of the Apostles, abandon Christ. Not by betrayal, we are told. They don't betray Him. They don't stop being Christians. They don't stop believing in Christ. They know that He is the light of the world. They know that His life is their life. But they are not up to the terrific challenge of witnessing to the life that Christ has given them by living against the way of the world, preparing those who hear their words to enter into that life. And so we're told they go and they return to their ordinary ways of life. Their place is taken by others who are chosen by lot to be among the 70, to evangelize and to spread the good news of this new life, which you just can't spread by talking about it. You actually have to live that life. Those that fell away from St. Paul, one of them, St. Paul mentions in particular by name, and he says, this man is one whose love of the world was greater than his love for Christ. And so he has gone on to Thessalonica to live his life there. He mentions another man by name, Alexander, and he says, be careful of this man, Alexander, Timothy, because he is someone who has resisted my words, someone who was at variance with the teaching and the guidance of St. Paul himself. And we here, these millennia after, when we think of the beginning of Christian times and being able to be with the apostles, to be among St. Paul and St. Mark and the others that St. Paul calls to him as he's about to go to be martyred, we think, how could anyone abandon them? But after all, we have received the same faith. We have received the same life. We are baptized into the same life that they baptized people into in their own time. And the pull of the world is as strong in those times as it is for us today. It wasn't some kind of golden age where, because of the fact that the apostles were living and preaching and teaching, people automatically flocked to them and stuck because they loved God and the new life that God had given them more than the world. It was a time like our own time. Our love of the world is strong. We're constantly seeking some kind of compromise so that we can find some way perhaps to use this sacred food, this new life that is given, in order to strengthen our own lives in the world. Those are the people that abandon their calling to be apostles among the 70 or companions of St. Paul. But not everyone does. We might say, I don't believe in this anymore, I'm going my own way, and forget about it. But we might just say to ourselves, or to St. Paul, I just can't do this. I believe in Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. His life is my life. But I can't be here with you on these front lines. Let me go home and be a center of the Holy Church of my own family and build a Christian family in the world that will witness to the new life in the world. Not everyone is on the front lines, but some of these were. St. Timothy, our own patron, was one of the foremost of them. Tomorrow is the Synaxis of the 70 apostles, the day when we recall and celebrate the memory of the 70 apostles that were called, including St. Timothy. And on the 22nd of this month is the Feast of St. Timothy, our own patron. It is good for us to remember and to honor those saints who so fully revealed the life that we can share in. And remember, and this is important, this is a life that we share in. There is Jesus the Christ himself. He is the only one who is the incarnate Son of God. And there are those who share his life. The apostles, the 70, and all of the saints, they share in his life. And it is a demanding calling to fully reveal the fact that our life is a life that is shared from God. But it is no less true for the rest of us who may not be called to be on the front line as apostles or evangelists, but still we are called to live Christian lives. And that means to share that same life that all of those great ones share. That too is our life. And even though we may not be living the lives that they lived, their way of sharing in the life of Jesus Christ, we still, if our lives are going to be good and true and beautiful and noble and be all that we are able to be because of God creating us, who's who we are, we too must share that same life. It's not simply a matter of, well, I'm either one of those or I will abandon true life and simply return to denying God, to denying Christ, and live on my own. That's not the way it is. We share a life all together. We are members of the communion of saints. And even though we may not be among the great ones whose names we call to mind at times like this, it is the only life that we have. And so we venerate the icons of those through whom our worship of God passes, those who reveal to us the presence of Christ. And on the synaxis of the 70 apostles, we can remember the words that are sung about them, because they apply not just to them, but also to all of us who are truly Christians. O you children of the future, it says. Children of the future. Children of the time of the return of Christ. Human beings who are living with the life of Christ fulfilled in the world. Already now, early, before the return of Christ, before the time when the presence of God will fill all things, we are already living the life of that time, the life of Christ's return. O you children of the future, you have sweetened the world like honey by your lives. You have sensed the world with the aroma of Christ. That's what our lives are meant to be like. And we can all do it, at least a little. We can sense the world by our actions and our love of Christ from time to time. Never betraying Christ. Maybe not like Saint Seraphim, giving off an aroma of incense and the presence of Christ throughout his blessed life. But still, we know where the center is. We know where the life is. We know where the source is. And even though we live smaller lives, we are still able to fill our own lives with the aroma of the incense of our prayer and be the presence of Christ for others. It's said of the 70 that they make Christ present in a way that prepares those who meet them for the baptism into the life in Christ. All of us have been baptized into that life in common at one with God. Let us all take up our calling as Christians to be like the evangelists, like the 70 apostles, the presence of Christ in the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.